Those who worship Muad'Dib, read this. Those who believe the lies of the Khizrat and the exaggerations of Princess Irulan, read this. Those who respect truth, read this. Bronso of Ix, introduction to his first pamphlet, untitled. Jessica prepared herself for any backlash from angry townspeople who had lost friends, family, or well-respected members of the community. However, the initial reaction to the execution of a handful of dissidents on Caladan could have been much worse. At least for now, many of the disgruntled and dissatisfied locals accepted the Duchess's pronouncement that placed the guilt directly on the shoulders of Mayor Horvu, the priest Sintra, and the other leaders of the revolt. After she explained how the good people of Caladan had been manipulated by the Bene Gesserits, the citizens reacted with shame and directed their anger toward the sisterhood instead of her. When had the people of Caladan ever openly defied their rightful duke or duchess? After being released, the hostage Kizaras applauded Jessica for her swift and sure justice, and they promised to speak on Caladan's behalf so that Muad'Dib's wrath would not fall upon this world or its people. They returned to Arrakis, ruffled but satisfied. Then Bronso of Ix released his first shocking manifesto. It was late in the year 10,200 when the Pundi rice farmers of Caladan were preparing their paddies for the following season, when Muad'Dib had just sent a terrible force of ships to sterilize 11 more planets, when the jihad seemed as if it would never end. Distributed widely, copied and passed from hand to hand, the treatise both horrified and titillated people with its bold and appalling claims. In a resounding reaction, the faithful rallied to protect the reputation and sanctity of Emperor Paul Muad'Dib. On Caladan, those who might have complained about the executions of Horvu and his fellow conspirators suddenly found themselves infuriated by Bronso's damning passages. So infuriated, in fact, that they had to tell everyone else about the outrageous, insulting claims. Paul's generals and priests issued an immediate order for the arrest and interrogation of the upstart Ixion, but Bronso Vernius was nowhere to be found. After transferring away most of his wealth, secretly draining House Vernius' funds, Bronso had left the Grand Palais and vanished into space, leaving no trace of his whereabouts. Jihad troops bearing the banners of orthodoxy encircled Ix, swarmed into the underground city of Verni, and questioned all members of the Technocrat Council, demanding to know how they had aided the traitor in spreading his sedition. Fearing for their lives, the Ixian Council disavowed all knowledge of Bronso's actions and vehemently condemned him. Unfortunately for them, the military arm of the Khizrat did not find their denials convincing. Along with many others, Bolagavati did not survive his interrogation. Gurney brought one of the pamphlets to Jessica as she tended her new gardens in the courtyard of Castle Caladan.
"Have you read what Bronso is saying, my lady?"
She tamped down dirt around a new, fragrant-smelling rosemary bush.
"No, I've chosen not to think about it."
He seemed barely able to contain his annoyance.
"I snatched this from a bonfire down at the docks. The villagers confiscated copies from a man who found them in his baggage. They're so incensed at the insult to Paul that they wanted to throw the man in the flames as well. He insisted he didn't know how the documents had come into his possession, and I sent him back up to the Highliner to save his life."
He lowered his voice.
"Like you, I didn't want to read drivel against Paul. But if I had read this beforehand, maybe I would have let them have their way with the man."
Gurney extended the pamphlet to her, but Jessica still made no move to take it. She brushed dirt from her palms.
"And what exactly upsets you so much? Have you been reading Irulan's syrupy reports for so long you've forgotten that Paul doesn't actually walk on water?" Gurney frowned and took a seat beside her on a stone bench in the garden. Actually, Irulan claims that he walks on sand but leaves no footprints. He opened the pamphlet again, skimmed it, then threw it down on the ground in disgust to emphasize his point. Jessica did not pick it up. To be honest, my lady, I can't claim that his facts are absolutely wrong. But ever since Earl Romber was killed and Bronzo turned his back on House Atreides, I knew he'd be trouble. That boy has let his hatred fester. And now, this. In frustration, Gurney leaned closer to her. Why aren't you more upset? Jessica gave him an enigmatic, pained smile, snipping an aromatic frond of the herb, inhaling deeply. Oh, Gurney, my son's government is strong enough to weather a little criticism, and maybe even benefit from it. The priests, of course, will cover their eyes and ears, but Paul might listen, and Aaliyah too. I suppose you're right, my lady. Duke Leto would never have been afraid of a few complaints. Gurney had a wistful look on his face. I'm guilty of a similar thing myself. When I was much younger, I sang a few songs about the Baron Harkonnen. He hummed, then burst into a refrain. We work in the fields, we work in the towns, and this is our lot in life. For the rivers are wide, and the valleys are low, and the Baron, he is fat. He shook his head to drive away the bad memories. When the Harkonnen troops heard me sing that, they smashed my baliset, beat me to within an inch of my life, and threw me into a slave pit. Jessica covered his hand with hers, silently acknowledging everything he had gone through. So you see, Gurney, we should ignore Bronzo. He'll probably just go away. But she knew that Bronzo of Ix was just getting started.